is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know the voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is that you do at 11 o'clock. Whatever it is that you do, though, I'm happy that you're doing that do. And that you are doing that do with me. I've got two things that I want to touch really quickly. Of course, I can't go anywhere or I can't go any further. Less than, of course, except I pay my special respects and tribute to an Acklands man. And, you know, I've been advised that there are only two things in life to be. You're either an Acklands man or you're standing very near to an Acklands man, and all the other things don't count. And so I want to say to somebody who I consider to be the apex, the pinnacle of representation for what Acklands men are, were, for all of the things they represent, a man who has woven himself neatly into the fabric of what is now known as the modern-day Bahamas, to a man that is a patriot in every sense of the word, to a man that has devoted life to public service, to service of country, and to service of God, right? He is a man that has given the best of his all to ensure that the Bahamas that we live in now, the one that we enjoy and that we know to be the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the one that has been completely inculcated with what we now call Bahamianization. The man that has offered himself on almost every occasion that he could to national service toward the goal that was a better Bahamas. His name is Arthur Dion Hanna. The Most Honorable Order of the Nation is the title, I think, that was bestowed upon him. His Excellency, Arthur Dion Hanna, has left life on this side and has gone to the unknown, the great beyond, the home over there, they say in the Church of God. And so we bid him farewell wherever he is in the universe, and we thank him. I thank him for his contribution, not just to the people that were in his sphere or in his circle, but for the contributions that his life have immeasurably offered greater nationhood to the country that we now enjoy. And so it is with that in mind that I thought that I would pay special tribute to Sir Arthur Hanna. Not Sir Arthur, sorry, to the Honorable, the Most Honorable, Arthur Dion Hanna.
I love to be my country,
And so, for the life and the times of Mr. Arthur Dion Hanna, His Excellency, the Most Honorable Order of the Nation, thank you, sir, for your service to country. Thank you, sir, for the contributions, the invaluable ones that you've made all along your life's journey. I wish to state, that the world, the Bahamas, is indeed a better place because a man by the name of Arthur Dion Hanna lived. All right, and so I got that out of the way. I have one other thing that I want to get out of the way. If anybody knows, I think his name is Vasco Bastian. I want you all to make sure he's tuning in right now. Please call him, tell him, tune in. Levin Miller is on 96.9 FM. Because I have to wonder, in a country where Mr. Bastian himself complains about the restrictions of the COVID protocols, right? Why would he allow his business to operate in the fashion that it doesn't accept legal tender when I don't know if they have a justifiable reason? And so I am complaining today, this morning, and I told them that I would, that I visited Mr. Bastian's establishment yesterday. He is the proprietor of the SO on the corner of East Street and Soldier Road. You know, he was in the news. I have the story here. Let me read a little bit of it. This is not what my show is about, but I just wanted to do a little bit of housekeeping. It says, and this is a short bit of the story, a gas station operator yesterday branded the reinstated COVID-19 ban on in-store customers and reduced hours as the final nail in the coffin. Vasco Bastian, owner and operator of Esso East Street South and Soldier Road location, told Tribune Business, "I think the petroleum industry, whether Rubis, Esso, and Sunoil, we are all hanging on by a thin thread line. Especially the Rubis and Esso franchise owned and operated sites. So I think by the mere fact that the government now is going to reduce the hours that the customer's ability to come in the store, this is the nail in the coffin for the retail aspect of gas stations in the Bahamas." Mr. Bastian spoke out after Prime Minister in his House of Assembly address reimposed the prohibition on customers going inside gas stations, retail stores with effect from 7 p.m. on Friday. The industry will also have to cope with the reduced hours produced by a 7 p.m. weekday curfew on New Providence and Abaco, and the loss of weekends due to the latest lockdown. "I understand that the government is trying to marry economics and health, and I support the health aspect of it," Mr. Bastian said, "but closing down this country and denying customers access to the gas station is foolishness. We can let in one or two persons at a time. It is a sad day for gas stations, for the Bahamas, for retailers and entrepreneurs all over the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I think that the Prime Minister needs to widen his council and the people he gets advice from. He needs to widen that scope. He needs to go and get some small and medium-sized enterprises around the table to discuss this. This knee-jerk reaction in dealing with the economy cannot continue. I also think that the Bahamian people need to behave more responsibly as to avoid these types of lockdowns because the government locks down the country. It is hurting everybody. I don't disagree with the Prime Minister, but we have to take some responsibility for the lockdowns ourselves and as Bahamians. I know it must be hard for those guys, the government. They had Hurricane Dorian and now they have COVID-19. But come on," Mr. Bastian added, "it must be a collective effort to stop COVID-19 in the Bahamas, and all hands are on deck. From retailers, wholesalers, entrepreneurs, all must help to reduce the spread to get this country back to where it used to be. Some 2 or 3 years ago, we are now on our knees. The only thing left for us to do now is cut off our legs. As a person who employs 30 plus persons directly, this is a sad day for gas station operators. This is a sad day for entrepreneurs, a sad day for retailers. But we also have to blame our fellow Bahamians who are not social distancing and or spraying down their hands and not wearing masks." Mr. Bastian said the government needed to also seek input from younger Bahamians, adding the Chamber of Commerce is limited in that scope and they don't reach out to everybody. We need to get the economy opened and get these people back to work. Now, my difficulty with Mr. Bastian and his establishment is, for somebody that seems so concerned about the economy and the way we do business, for someone that understands the crippling effect, so much so that he describes it as the nail in the coffin, I then cannot understand why Mr. Bastian has a cashier in his establishment that refuses to take legal tender. Yesterday, I had occasion to visit that establishment, and I told him I would complain about this. I had about $6 in silvers because I keep them in my ashtray and I don't spend them on anything except for fuel, right? So I was heading home. I said, I'll stop and put some fuel in. It blew me out of the water when the pump attendant says to me, "Sir, I can't accept coins." And so I asked him, "What do you mean you can't accept coins?" He said, "My cashier doesn't take them." Well, of course, I'm Levin Miller. I need to see this, right? I walk into the establishment. There is, for the purpose of this exercise, I'm going to call them Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, because the cashier was assisted by some very irate, belligerent woman who is, I wasn't even talking to her. I don't know how she get in my business, but she needed to defend Butch Cassidy. And they literally looked into my eye and said, they will not accept legal tender in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. This isn't a cashless location, because if it was, I would understand that. This is an establishment that accepts cash. I am bringing, and then they say to me that the reason they are not accepting it is because they don't feel like counting this money this close to closing time. It was about 8 o'clock. I was headed home. Because, you know, I like to always keep myself in keeping with the restricted lockdown orders, right? But it was to my chagrin, because here is what bothers me most. There are people in this country that have not seen employee in 17 months. What if all they have is $5 in quarters? Because the cashier insisted that I wrap this, and I told him it was impossible to wrap a quantity of this of quarters this small. You cannot wrap less than $10 in quarters. And some places you go don't even accept them wrapped, because that's how they get all sorts of foreign coins pushed on them. But I have to say that he was the most distasteful, the most belligerent, and I don't call adults rude, but he was punch in the face disturbing last evening. And only because I am a man of greater resolve than that, I don't think it escalated. But I wish, what is his name again? Mr. Vasco? I wish he would deal with those employees, because those people do not understand the need for customers in this very hard economic times. And I believe that while the government has driven the last nail in the coffin, I believe Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the cashier and his able assistant last night, because they didn't wear name tags and they wouldn't give me their names, so I've named them. I believe that they have taken a 32-ounce hammer and have sunk the nail that he is so concerned the government has dropped into his establishment. And wherever he is, please tell him that they have caused me great annoyance, and I intend to make a complaint to Central Bank, because I do not know on whose authority they are acting when they decide, solely for the purpose of them not wanting to count it, that they will not take legal tender in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I'd be happy to have a conversation with him if he'd like it. I'd be happy to have a conversation with him in the front of the cashier. I don't know. But we've got to do better than this. People are at a point where they do not have money. And what do you do to people that do not have money? Do you turn them away? What if I were a single mother trying to get my child? Would you turn me away because all I had was $5 in coin pieces? There is no rule that says that. All right? So, if you know him out there, I know I tell you he was out there kvetching in the news about all of the things that was going on. Mr. Vasco Bastian, if you know him, you please tell him that whoever his cashier was last evening, what was yesterday's date? That person is terrible for his business and they ought not be anywhere customers are. We just put him in the back, hide him near the ice or something. But please, for God's sake, not for my sake, for God's sake, don't let him be out front where people could see him. All right. Anyway, that's enough of that. I'm joined in the studio this morning by a great historian. Nobody keeps records as great as this man. I don't know how he finds the time to do it, but he certainly is mind-blowingly impressive when it comes to archiving and that sort of stuff. He is Arnold Rip Wilson. He's been in the studio with me before, if you remember. He was with me when we did the Flamingo series. And I feel like giving them a little bit more history. So what I'm going to do all throughout the month of August, because this is the 27th anniversary, you may not even have known or may not be aware of this. There is a second incident that happened in the life and time of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force where, again, four Marines, not this time died, but found themselves in great distress at the hands of foreign forces and were abducted by foreign forces. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's go to the break, Kermit. When I get back from the break, we'll read a little bit of this article. And we'll get it started. So every Wednesday, you can join me here on Guardian 96.9 FM. Well, we'll talk about the Honduran abduction. I've already gotten some guests lined up for it. There are some interesting names in the story. We'll see how it all turned out. I'm happy to have Mr. Wilson here for my inaugural show. Leva Miller is here. I'm Unleash on your radio. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be back after the break. In these dangerous times, you need protection that you can depend on. International Security Alliance will keep your business and assets secure. Our team of skilled and professional officers provide an efficient and effective means to mitigate threats to our clients. Our services include executive chauffeuring, corporate office security, asset management, marina security, and canine security. Get the protection that you can trust. Call International Security Alliance at 601-0766 or at 601-0767. That's International Security Alliance. Enforcement through reinforcement.
No matter how careful you are, sometimes accidents happen. When it comes to your auto insurance coverage, we know what you need. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we provide superior customer service through a quick and efficient claims department that you can trust to get you quickly and safely back on the road again. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me again. Mr. Arnold Rip Wilson is my guest. We're talking about the Honduran abduction that took place in 1994. Let me tell you the people that were involved. This is an article written by Lindsay Thompson, and it says, it was an outpouring of emotions combined with prayers and thanks to God as four Defense Force Marines were warmly welcomed home by family members and government officials Friday, referred to as heroes. The men arrived in a private aircraft, N-404-SJ, that's Sierra Juliet, which landed at the Nassau International Airport shortly before 2 o'clock. Safely home are, here are the names, Able Seaman, Lorenzo Douglas Carey, 31. Able Mechanic, Sean Roosevelt Roll, 28. Able Seaman, Anthony Garfield Archer, 26. And Marine Mechanic, Sullivan Benjamin McKinsey, 23. The Marines were abducted by Honduran fishermen who were arrested on August 6, 1994, I think that date is, for illegally fishing in Bahamian waters. Dressed in plain clothes, the Marines descended the steps of the aircraft and were led into the VIP lounge where they were greeted by family and friends. Cries and shouts of, oh, thank God, oh, look at my boy, and hallelujah, rang throughout the lounge. With an atmosphere to match that of the 90-degree temperature on the outside, the air inside the lounge heated up as the song, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done, was sung. Reverend Ivan Butler Jr., pastor of the Camp Road Union Baptist Church, offered a prayer of thanksgiving. The clergyman also thanked God that the government and the Bahamian people were concerned about their fellow man and wished for their safe return home. Mr. Turnquest referred to the men as heroes as he briefly addressed the gathering. And he mentioned that Portia Archer, wife of Able Seaman Archer, gave birth to a baby girl on Thursday and that the wife of Able Seaman Carey was at hospital awaiting delivery. Time was then allotted for the men to briefly interact with their families before they were whisked away to Defense Force Base in Coral Harbor for debriefing and medical checkups. Most of the family members followed suit, but the Guardian spoke with the parents of Able Mechanic Sean Roosevelt Roll. His mother, Irene Roll, breathed a sigh of relief when she was asked how she fared the ordeal. "I did not want to think about it," she said softly. but we are relieved that all of this is over. Mrs. Rowell said, although it has been rough, with the help of God, they made it. The Marine's mother, Clarence Rowell, Clarence Rowell Sr., said, although the entire ordeal was depressing, the family is thankful that all the men arrived home safely. At one point, I had given up all hope until I found out a couple days ago that the boat was located and that the men would be home Friday, said Mr. Rowell. Asked how he felt the government handled the situation, Mr. Rowell said that there was not much information forthcoming. He said, although his son is married, they, the parents, should have also been informed. Abel Seaman Rowell is the eldest of six children. His wife, Diane, and they have a two-year-old daughter, Deshaun. And that is the story as it is accounted by Miss Lindsay Thompson of The Guardian back in 1994. Mr. Wilson, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Very good.
Yeah, so you keep these stories very well archived. I mean, no, it's an amazing work of art. Do you actually recall the event that is the abduction, though? Pull that mic into you.
Only one incident, the whole story. I mean, only one incident that how they were captured in the mm-hmm. sense of they were on this vessel mm-hmm. and they wasn't discovered until later that night that the boat that they missed, that the Defense Force missed this vessel because they actually was like behind them as such.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an outrageous event in the sense that, you know, you put these four men on the ship mm-hmm. to, I guess, like you said, to safeguard them in the sense that if you do capture the boat, you always put a member of your Defense Force on it. And it's like they got complacent in the Commodore, I think, at the time. I think it's Lawrence.
Leon Smith. Yeah.
Said that they wasn't expecting that type of behavior.
Right, from the Honduran.
Yeah.
Yeah, because usually...
That was really one of the things that I really remember.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you're talking about this wasn't the Progressive Liberal Party at the time. This would have been a fairly new Free National Movement government. It's 94.
Mm-hmm.
The Ingram administration had only just come to power in 92. I had made the mistake of thinking that Frank Watson was the deputy prime minister, but he wasn't even yet. Mm-hmm. So Orville Turnquist was still deputy prime minister.
Correct.
Do you even recall what the temperature on the ground around the country was like? What did people? What was the chatter like? Were people even aware? Because I mean, I was a boy with mm-hmm. cognitive capability in '94, and I never learned about this story until I became a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Was it something that kind of made the rounds around the water port at the work offices?
Well, it was almost like an embarrassing situation. So we really don't be talking about this for a very long time because. How it really happened. Because
mm-hmm.
it came out of complacency.
Okay.
That's
the Commodore stated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't think that is one story that you really want to always speak about that, oh, we were overcome because you thought these guys were never going to do something like this.
Right. So I see that Gladstone Thurston also wrote, and he was a Tribune reporter, I think he was, the Bahamas' most serious military incident since 1980, sinking of the Defense Force vessel Flamingo by Cuban fighter jets, is over. And with the return Friday afternoon of four Defense Force Marines who were abducted by Honduran fishermen 15 days ago, the lesson to be learned is one in complacency. It was a frightening thing, said Defense Force Commodore Leon Smith. We never expected that from fishing boats. We have arrested more than 11 Honduran fishing boats before, and in many cases, we had very little problem with them. They took us by surprise, and it is a lesson that we learned. An official inquiry is underway at the Defense Force Coral Harbor Base, Mr. Smith confirmed. The press was not allowed to interview the Marines who were whisked away to the base for debriefing and medical examination after they had met with family members. But in the harrowing ordeal, the Bahamas can be comforted in the fact that it has friends in the region. Abducted were able seaman Lorenzo Douglas Carey, able mechanic Sean Roosevelt Rowell, able seaman Anthony Garfield Archer, and marine mechanic Sullivan Benjamin McKinsey. Two of the men were stationed on each of the Honduran fishing boats which were being taken into custody by the HMBS Fort Montague for illegal fishing in the Bahamas, in the Bahamian waters. There were 56 crew members on board, one fishing boat, and 71 on the other. Wow. That is a lot of people. The Fort Montague lost visual and radio contact with the impounded vessels at 8:30 p.m. on Saturday, August 6, approximately 10 miles east of the Anguilla Keys on the Keysal Bank. Immediately, the Defense Force and United States Coast Guard dispatched planes and boats to search for the absconding fishing vessels. They were spotted earlier this week by the U.S. Coast Guard aircraft. When they arrived at Nassau International Airport Friday afternoon, dressed in civilian clothes, the slim Marines appeared tired but otherwise in good health. Accompanied by Permanent Secretary to the Ministry of Public Safety and Transport, Mark Wilson, Deputy Permanent Secretary to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Lieutenant Commander Godfrey Rowell, sorry, they don't give a name for the Deputy Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and Lieutenant Commander Godfrey Rowell of the RBDF, the Marines were flown from Tegucigalpa, wherever that is, Tegucigalpa, Honduras, on board Learjet 404 Juliet Sierra, with Captain Ed Porter at the helm. They were greeted by Deputy Prime Minister Orville Turnquest, Commodore Smith, Minister of Justice and Immigration, Mistress Janet Bostwick, Parliament Speaker Vernon Simonet, Members of Parliament, Senators, Senior Defense Force Officers, Police Officers, Ministers of Religion, and a host of family members. An honor guard with Senior Lieutenant Clifford Scavala in command was drawn up, and John Chippy Chipman and the boys provided gumbe music. But this was a festival. That's a lot of people.
It was more of a pleasant return than the sinking.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Yeah. This is a little party by the airport. The Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Turnquest, welcomed the four Marines as heroes. "We are happy that the men are alive. That's the important thing," said Defense Force Commodore Leon Smith. Everybody is pleased that they are alive. When the news first broke that the men were abducted, it was a frightening thing that something had happened," said Mr. Smith. "We never expected that from fishermen. The procedure used to bring the apprehended boats to New Providence came into criticism. It was felt that two Marines to guard 71 persons and two Marines to guard 56 persons was not sufficient." Mr. Smith was asked to comment. "I can't comment on that part of it," he said. "There is a board of inquiry going on now, and I really don't want to prejudice the inquiry." Mr. Smith said he was in contact with the military officials in Honduras, and their response to the dilemma was very good. "We appreciate what they did, and especially Belize, which is a counterpart of mine. They gave us all the information they had at the time and brought us up to date on what they were doing. It made us feel good that we know that we are getting information. When we first got the information that they were alive, although no one touched them or saw them, we were confident that they were still alive. It is a mystery," he was told, "that the Honduran fishing vessels were able to evade United States radar planes so quickly." He was asked why. "I really couldn't say," he replied. "I know that the aircraft went out and that they have a good radar system, but we calculated and we feel that they might have gone right up under the Cuban coast. They hugged the Cuban coast and went around, but it was the Coast Guard that spotted them. It is believed that the fishing vessel stopped in the Cayman Islands to do some business. If that was so," he was asked, "where were the Marines then?" "We are investigating that too," he said. "The Marines would have still been on board the boats. We felt that these craft would have headed directly for Honduras. This is something we are investigating to find out what went wrong, who is the connection, and what is going on." One of the weekly newspapers stated that the Marines were beaten by the Hondurans. Mr. Smith was asked if that was so. "I can't comment on that," he said. We will have a debriefing in a little while, and they will be able to tell me what happened. They were examined by military doctors in Honduras, and we have our own doctors standing by to examine them. This ordeal showed that the Bahamas has some friends in the region, like Jamaica, Belize, Mexico, and Cuba, which is also another interesting thing because this would have only been 14 years past the sinking of the HMBS Flamingo. Exactly. But 14 years later, we had cured our relationship with Cuba, mended it however that we had mended it, and now Cuba was being considered by the Commodore of the Defense Force, Mr. Leon Smith at the time, as a friend of ours, who, if you remember, just 14 earlier years would have been under the command of then Commodore William Swinley. And at the time, we were almost ready to wage war against Cuba in whatever capacity that we could. It goes on to say, we learned that we can call on these people at any time that we get into problems, he said. We have our annual military leaders conference with the leaders in the Caribbean, and so we know one another one-on-one when we get on the phone. That has helped. The Bahamas has friends in this region, and this ordeal brought that out. And that gave me more confidence that everything was going to be okay. Asked whether the Defense Force is now going to tighten its approach in the arrest of fishermen caught poaching in the Bahamian waters, he said, we always tighten up. But we are going to see what went wrong in this one. If anything went wrong, two ships got away from us, and that is the first time that has happened. We have to examine the situation and find out what went wrong. He confirmed that this is the most serious incident since the 1980 sinking of the HMBS Flamingo. Deputy Prime Minister Turnquest thanked all those who were involved in the safe return of the Marines, Mr. Wright, Mr. Wilson, Foreign Affairs Permanent Secretary Idris Reed, and the staff in various government departments. You are our heroes, Mr. Turnquest told the Marines. This demonstrates how hazardous is the work which they and their comrades do in defending and protecting our territorial waters. The hazards continue on a daily basis, particularly now that the poachers increase, the Cuban flotillas increase, the Haitian craft increase. On a daily basis, the Marines go out on those hazardous waters in ships that are not as modern as we would wish, but they go out and they give of their best, and they are prepared to give of their lives. Reverend Ivan Butler Jr., pastor of Camp Road Union Baptist Church, regarded the safe return of the Marines as a prayer come through. Marine Sullivan B. McKenzie is a leading member of his congregation. And so that is actually a pretty interesting story. You can give us a call, 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. I don't know, but do you even remember where you were when you heard the news of the abduction? Do you remember what was happening around that time?
Not really. I don't really remember. Like I said, how they were overcome, that was really...
The punchline of the story.
Yeah, yeah. So all the other details...
Why do you think though? Because if you recall in the incident of the HMBS Flamingo, you recall that people specifically remember. Like people can tell you exactly where they were and what they were doing the moment they found out the HMBS Flamingo was sunk. What do you think was different 15 years later? You think the Flamingo experience had kind of chafed us so that we treated it like we now do incidents of murder or terrible car accidents. And we're so accustomed to it.
I think there was more of a sense of there's a possibility that they are still there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really the thinking.
Okay.
The mindset of that. They just probably met off course.
Mm-hmm.
In that sort of sense, you were thinking that they will return or they will find them somewhere.
Do you think it's because you all always... Because there was no immediate announcement of death, maybe? Because in the incident of the Flamingo, I imagine the general thought was, oh my God, they're all dead.
Yes.
But in this instance, there was kind of always the glimmer of hope that, you know what, they're missing, but they're alive.
But we also thought also that Cuba was in that factor also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were thinking along that line, like, you know, they come back to get even as such.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we always had a history of... capturing a whole lot of Cuban in our waters.
No, I get it, but according to the Commodore of the Defense Force, Mr. Smith, very assuredly says, yeah, man, our friends in the region are doing their part,
mm-hmm.
and we can count on them at any time. And so it doesn't sound as though the contention existed in the region any further.
So that's a political response.
323-622-3252-313-325-4316-325-4259. You can give me a call. You can text me on 422-4796. I've got a call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning. My name is Mr. Bastian. I think you're calling in reference to
Hello, Mr. Bastian.
I happened to you personally yesterday at the gas station.
Yes. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, sir.
What
was the issue, sir? Can we rectify it?
I want to say...
I'm getting rid of it right now.
I told them to tell you that I was talking about you. I want to talk to you... I want to talk to you off air. No, can I get my producer to take a number for you and I give you a call as soon as I'm off the air?
Yeah, but I also want to rectify the model on there if there was an issue.
No problem. I can tell you what happened. Let me tell you. What happened was I attended your establishment on yesterday evening.
Okay,
it was about 8 p.m. I went there with silvers, about $6 worth of it. I don't keep more than that. They're in my ashtray.
No problem.
And I tried to purchase fuel. Your gas attendant, your pump attendant was petrified that I came there with silvers. And I asked him, what's the problem? And he said, my cashier will not accept them. Well, I wouldn't accept that. So I went inside.
Right.
It's at that time that your cashier tells me, man, I'm tired of telling you all about coming here with silvers. Well, first of all, I don't know who's y'all. This is literally the first time I've ever seen you.
But no problem. Give me your name again, sir. What's your name?
My name is Levin Miller.
Mr. Miller.
Yes.
Anyway, that's what I'll do. I will deal with that. But I will give you $12 worth of gas, complimentary of me. I'll pay for that. For your $6 in coins that you were getting, I'll give you $12 in actual gasoline. I'll give you your number or text me.
Hold the line. I'll let my producer take your number.
But make sure you.
The only reason I did this is because.
But I also want you to publicly acknowledge my call and that I'm.
Well, we are live on air.
Immediately.
We are live on air, so everybody can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Yeah. But we will double whatever fuel you are getting. If you're getting $6, I'll give you $12. And I apologize to you publicly and privately for the inconvenience caused.
I appreciate that very much, sir. Because I want to say this to you. I was pulling for you when I saw your cry in the news, right? Like, I was like, this guy makes a lot of sense. I have to tell you that I was taken aback by the behavior of your cashier last night.
We try to uphold and enforce in our establishment all the stuff, but the best quality service one could ever execute. But, you know, there's always one or two persons that falls through the crack.
Yeah.
And I call you as the owner and operator. I call you to publicly and privately apologize to you for her conduct. I will deal with that matter internally.
It's a him. It's a he. That's a he. It isn't a her.
I will deal with him.
Thank you.
Immediately. But yeah. I want to make sure that you get your gas.
I appreciate you, sir.
If you're purchasing $6, I want to give you $12 instead.
I appreciate you. You're very kind. I'll call you. Hold the line. My producer will get to you.
No problem, man.
Okay.
Take care. Have a good day, yeah? And I appreciate your business.
323-622-3254-316-325-4259. Let me take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Not there. Next one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. Let me read one of these text messages. This says, bro, we blame governments for failures in the country, but it's people like the cashier that is destroying the Bahamas. Okay, this one says, I can't pronounce this word. That word is the capital of Honduras. It is Tegucigalpa. I guess. I'll take your word for it. Please, with the nonsense transpiring in this country, we can't have you sounding dumb. Names are different, right? It's difficult to pronounce names sometimes. Let's take another one, Kermit. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Yes, good morning. I'm here.
How are you?
Fairly well, thank you. I just tuned in. Please, I would like to get a quick preview of the situation in the gas station, because I want to defend, I want to speak on behalf of cashiers and pump attendants.
Well, I don't need you to defend them. That was isolated.
I want to describe scenarios.
Hold on.
Yeah, I just want to know.
Let me. I'm trying to help you. You asked me. You asked me. You said you started off by saying you just tuned in. At the opening of my show, I declared a discontentment that I had with a gas station in New Providence last evening. That was the owner of the station calling to apologize for the behavior of his staff. We will deal with that sidebar. What my show is about today, though. It's about the Honduran abduction of four Marines in 1994. And I have with me in studio historian Mr. Rap Wilson. He's here helping me because he has wonderfully archived collections of... And the commander of the Defense Force. Has the commander of the Defense Force ever reached out to you? The Public Relations Department of the Defense Force should really reach out to Mr. Wilson because he keeps a wonderful, wonderful foot log of this stuff that happened over the entire history of the force. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. This one here says, I have a list of... Jesus, I don't want to talk about the gas station all day. Let's take one more. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hello,
hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, yourself?
I feel great.
Wonderful, wonderful. It is a great day to be alive. And I'm calling to just give a homage to that great icon that has fallen asleep, that has done his work, A.D. Hatter.
Yes.
You know, and I'm also to encourage his daughter, that other great lady that is heading and fighting in Angleton.
Yes.
To just remain strong.
Mm-hmm.
I know this will make her stronger because she's that type of a woman. And also to those four men that ended up in Honduras.
Yes.
I'd just like to ask one question.
Mm-hmm.
You all were talking about you think they were lost. Don't you have a modern-day radar system?
Well, actually, it was the U.S., that couldn't find them. The U.S. sent their planes, according to Commodore Smith, and the U.S. planes had radars on them, but apparently the U.S. couldn't detect the boats for whatever the reason were, and Commodore Smith, in his account, says he believed what happens was that they ran up under the shelf of Cuba, which I think would have been very dangerous, but this is what he surmises, because had Cuban officials taken them into custody... Our boys might end up. Our boys might end up locked up in Cuba.
They're very defensive, so you.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm thanking God and asking you all to modify the system. You know, but if y'all get nothing to do with that, that's a government decision.
Well, we're trying our best to make sure that we have the conversation.
You're always excellent.
Thank you, sir.
What is going on with Casey for 2 weeks? I need you to.
One is a big chair now, so I don't know. I don't know if me one could fill that whole chair. Appreciate you, caller. 323-623-23252-543-16-325-4259. You can give me a call. We got about 7 minutes left. Someone's asking me, Mr. Wilson, why if the men were declared national heroes then, why have they not been declared national heroes at a national level? The Deputy Prime Minister then, now Sir Orville Turnquest, stated in his address, these men are national heroes. But there's never been any...
But I did say there's a political response.
There's never been any actual real... Do you know of any follow-up events that happened during this?
I know of.
And no documentation?
At that time, I really was into really news stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I was working and I was getting the newspaper daily. So...
But there's not been any follow-up by it. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning. Just to let you know that the pronunciation of the word is Dikuji Kalpa.
Dikuji Kalpa. Thank you, man. God bless your heart. Dikuji Kalpa.
Yeah, I love your show. I listen every morning.
Have you ever been to Honduras? Because I ain't never been. And if you've been, I want you to take me when you go the next time.
I've been to Honduras. I'm Dikuji Kalpa and another place called Sula.
Okay. Well, the next time you go, I got a passport. You could take me. And then that way I could see it. And maybe I'd be better at pronouncing it when I get back. How does that sound?
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate you very much. Dikuji Kalpa, that's where they were kept. All right, so now I know it. Let me ask you another question, Mr. Wilson. I know you said that you knew one or two of the boys from the Flamingo. Right, but because, you know, 1994, Nassau was still a really small place. I think the population at the time was like 270. So Bahamians were still pretty tightly knit. Did you know anyone?
No. That is why I'm making the effort now to reveal my information now. You know, that.
Interestingly enough, I worked along with Lorenzo Carey.
Okay.
I don't think he's ever been the same. I don't know what he was like before the incident. Mm-hmm. 1984, I would have been a grade 4. But I met him as an able seaman. He was my guard commander at the Harbor Patrol Unit. We had a big time. Listen, Alpha Unit was the biggest arresting unit in the... You could go check the logbooks. Oh, Levin Miller, Dimitri Ferguson, Ed Silambristo, we don't play around. When we come, it's lockup time. And Lorenzo Carey was our guard commander at some point. And so I worked along with him then, and then I worked along with him when I was in recruiting and vetting. And so I actually had an opportunity to work alongside. And And he's always been a guy that is very concerned all the time. So he, you know, he always wants you to check it twice. Millie, you check it twice? And I think maybe this incident had a lot to do with it. Let's take one more call. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Hey, good morning, Levon. How you doing?
I feel great.
That's good. In reference to the situation with the four Marines, at the time I was on the force, and after Kerry Dawes came back, I spoke with Kerry because we were stationed on the ship together.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it wasn't the Honduran. I can't remember. There was a mixed nationality. There were some other guys that were on the boat. He said those were the ones who threatened their lives.
Mm.
They wanted to kill him because he said he remembered one or two incidents. They put the knife to his neck and they wanted to split his throat. But because the Bahamian government had already contacted the Honduran government, the Hondurans were like, no. You can't kill these fellas because
we got to go home.
Yeah. and then when you asked how the tempo was, it wasn't like Flamingo because I think everybody, since they already had contacted the Honduran government, everybody felt like, okay, we can get these guys back.
Mm.
Right? They just wanted to escape, get back home, and then, you know, leave the country.
You say you were on the force, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Because, I mean, I know what it's like at any time one of our vessels is in distress or any time. Like, I've had situations where now Senior Commander Colin Battle apprehended a Dominican vessel. I think it was like 58 of them on board. And yeah. I remember then, because Colin would have been a lieutenant at the time, and yeah, there was then Senior Commander Albert Ambrister. I remember him frantically coming out from the SEO's office because he was SEO for us forever. And he comes out and he says, listen, where's Omav? Flash up. Let's go get Colin. And, like, I remember us, like, loading everything that we had and hightailing Ragged Island to go get Colin.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder, like, was the mood the same? Like, was it, man, we got to get up and, like, flash up and get out of here?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Marines, we were hot.
Yeah.
You know, we were hot. Everybody was mad and frustrated because then, you know, like a lot of people knew Archer and Kerry, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you like four R guys going, everybody's like, how does happen first of all?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Why these four guys were on the boat with like 50 something guys or 70
something?
70 something,
yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody's like, well, Montague's slow, so they can't run nobody down.
Yeah. Right? I think they say Montague was doing 9 knots depending on which way the wind was coming from.
Well, that was a good, yeah. Montague was good for like 6. So. Yeah, everybody was, you know, up in arms and really wanted to get out there to try and find these guys.
Yeah.
But, like you say, nobody knew exactly where they were.
Yeah. Anyway, call I'm out of time. Appreciate you so much for calling. Mr. Rip Wilson, you're always a great asset to have. Listen, if you need a story, I don't, do you give these people the number so they can find you? Or where do they find you? If you need any story that happened in the Bahamas in 100 years... Mr. Arnold Rip Wilson has it perfectly cataloged, and it is amazing. I see he even brought some stuff here with Adriana this morning, who has left us yesterday and gone into eternity. This is really good stuff. Mr. Wilson, thank you so much for joining me again this morning.
Welcome, man.
I appreciate you so much. Anyway, that's my music. You know what it means. The music means it's my time. I'm leaving Miller. I've been Unleashed on your radio. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is your station for fresh news and smart talk. I want to say thank you to the gas station owner. I intend to reach out to you today. I'm not going to take the gas for those of you that are listening. I'm going to give it to somebody, to some single mother with some children. Come get yourself $12 worth of gas, courtesy of Levin Miller and Esso on the corner of East Street and Soldier Road, all right? That's my time. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got news. It's now.
Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us.